Blog Talk Radio.
That men would praise the Lord for His goodness and His mercy. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His wondrous works toward men. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for His mercy endureth forever. He made the heavens and earth and all that is.
Sandra McDonald. Oh my goodness. I know I say this every time, but I tell you, the Lord just keeps on doing great things, and He keeps on just showing His handiwork. That's how this song says, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His wondrous works unto the children of men." If you just talk about His goodness, and that's why we are here today to talk about the goodness of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who died so that we could be free, who died so that we could be stress-free. Ah, boy, that sounds interesting. So, yeah, I would like for you to call in. This is Dr. Cassandra McDonald, pastor of Cash Ministries, Caring and Sharing Spirituality. And hey, we're live, so you can call in at 347-677-1854. That's 347-677-1854. And just talking about the goodness of the Lord, I love how God is so particular. He is so meticulous about his children. He wants us to have pleasure in life. And the scripture that I just ran into today, I love to just open the Bible and see what God shows me, just to see. And I opened up to Mark the 12th. I said, I opened up to that often, it seems. But I got a little something different out of it this time. Of course, you do. When you allow the Lord, you know, to give you revelation, and you know, we're back in that framing. If you allow yourself to be a revelation instead of information, Adam had revelation every night with God, but then when he walked his own way, he had to depend on information. So I was looking at that 12th chapter, and it starts out. Shortly after the beginning, it talks about the fig tree and how it was not giving any fruit. And so the Lord cursed the tree and it died. And it just occurred to me, I'm like, okay, so what am I supposed to get out of that today? Because that's, you know, I've heard the story over and over again. And then it goes into the passage where if you speak to this mountain and have faith, you know, unmovable faith and not doubt, it shall happen. I said, well, what am I supposed to get out of that? So what I received from that is that we are to be fruit producing. And if we're in Christ, he will produce it in us, which leads us right to our subject with using him as the head. And you can't be that producing fruit without him. Many have tried and they have successes, but to be successful is to produce the fruit that God has seeded in us. That's why I always talk about we are the seed of Abraham and the seed, Jesus, seed of Christ, because the seed is to produce. When that seed is planted, it has to be nourished, and it's in darkness. Isn't that something? Even as a baby, that when that egg is fertilized, it's in darkness. Everything. Think about that. Oh my God. Okay, thanks, God. Everything, they're just simplistic things, but hopefully the linearness of it will give you some insight. Dark. Everything God created, he created from the dark. You know, in the beginning, he said the world was void, let me turn to it, and without form. But then he said, let there be light. Let me find it. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And I'm in the first chapter of Genesis, first verse, second verse. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And the Lord said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw, fourth verse, the light. And it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. So my point right now that the Lord is telling me is that everything that God does, he creates. He manifests that. It doesn't exist, but it always comes from a seed or something that's buried in darkness. So what I hear him saying is that no matter where you are in your life, it may be a really dark spot. It may be a spot where you feel like you're alone. No one hears you. No one cares. You know, even if they could hear you, they don't care. But that's when God gets his creativity going. Oh, man, I was telling someone I was counseling the other day, man, you're in a great place, has nothing, laid off from his job without compensation, doesn't have the proper diagnosis for who and what he is, and doesn't have this and doesn't have that. I said, whoa. I said, you're in a great place because God creates something out of nothing. That's how he works. He works miraculously. He works in the supernatural. So in the very beginning, when there was nothing, that's how he created. Baby is comes together, the egg meets with the sperm. It's in darkness. And then it begins to grow. It begins to produce. And then that baby comes out, comes to the light. Any seed that you plant, it needs to be fertilized in good soil. But it's down in the dark. And it has to begin to produce, to unfold and develop. You've seen the slow motion where it shows the process of photosynthesis, how it shows and how this thing develops and how it grows. And this fruit tree, this fig tree, wasn't producing any fruit. So if you're not growing and you're not producing, that's a curse. That's not a blessing. Whoa, here we go some more. Okay, when I was coming up, I'll just give my own little testimony. You know, to be saved meant, this is kind of rude and crude, but it was the concept that I was given, or at least the concept that I conceptualized. You had to be dumb, stupid, and poor because that's the only way you could be humble. God couldn't use you. Well, you know, even if that were true, were you supposed to stay there? Was there not ever supposed to be any evidence of growth? We were taught about, I wasn't. Taught about the evidence of growth. You were just talking about stay humble, stay quiet, stay still, stay. Well, where is the growth? Where is the developmental something that shows up? He cursed the fig tree that was not producing. So even if that was a true statement, of course it was not. where's the growth? You know, if you're doing the same thing you did last year and nothing has changed, you might want to check that out. Because our subject is reaping the benefits of God's head. If you're complacent and, you know, I heard a high school kid said, I just like to be common. I don't like to do anything different or out of the extraordinary. I'm like, great future prowess. Whoa. But most of us have been trained to do that because why? No one has told her that there's greatness in her. No one has told her that she can do exceedingly abundantly above what anybody has ever said. No one has said this. There's no expectancy for her to do anything but to be like her surroundings and to just fit. And that's it. But if you just fit and you're not producing like the fig tree, God cuts it off. If he is your head and your head is a creator, then that you're supposed to do like, you know, you said, look, be like Mike. No, you're supposed to be like Jesus. Some wonderful, magnificent things should be coming from you. I was speaking with someone the other day, and they were saying, well, I don't do this well, and I don't do that well. I said, but I'm integrating with you right now, and you're doing it very well. I said, I don't know who told you that, but they lied. So stop saying that. It's simply not true. But we are what people have told us that we're to be, because of their comfortability. That's the zoning where they're comfortable and they don't expect, nor do they want anyone to go above and beyond. No expectancy. I've been told, man, if you just get to a point where you're surviving and things are fine and I'll be happy. Well, I'm happy you'll be happy, but that has nothing to do with the promise in me. Absolutely nothing. Those are not my expectations. My God said, above all I can ask or think is what he has planned for me. Do you think I'm going to settle for
Sure, I'm just making it.
Okay. Okay, so today you're just making it. What's happening for tomorrow? If you're just making it the same way you just made it last year, there's something wrong with that picture if you have God as your head. He's a creative God. He's constantly creating. I mean, I don't have the stats, but do you know how many cells, trillions of cells, are created in us daily? I mean, we are wonderfully made. We are creative, wonderfully made individual as a human being. And God keeps it moving, keeps it moving, keeps it moving. The old skin sheds off, and he constantly is replacing it with new. So what are you going to do? Are you going to use God? Are you going to reap some of these benefits as the head, as God as your head? I mean, just look at what he did with the fig tree. He said, forget it. You're cursed, and it died down to the root. Not just up at the surface. That was it. Kaput. It was gone because it wasn't producing. And there are scriptures that relate to that, like he gave one talent, one five, and the other one ten. And they produced. The one that didn't produce, he took it away. And guess who he gave it to? The one that had the most, the 10. I said, well, now that's kind of interesting. He gave it to not the one that had 5, which was okay, but he gave it to the one that had the most, who produced the most with the most that he had. That's what God is looking at. He didn't put you here to do the ordinary, because he is not an ordinary God. That is not who he serves. That is not who he is. And why would you identify? If he's your father, you say, I love God, and I just want to be, that's what people say, I love God, and I just want to be in his will. Well, that's required of everybody. But what else beyond that do you actually want to do his perfect will for you? He died for you to be the head and not the tail, to go beyond. Why? So that you could bless his other children. He said, so that you could go ye into the world and compel them. That's what he, so you need resources to do that. You can't just make it and just barely make it for yourself and not be able to help anyone else. And he tells fathers, he says, leave a heritage for your children and your grandchildren. So if you're just barely making it, who are you blessing? Why are you leaving out the rest of the scriptures? When God wants to bless you beyond and above all that you can ask or think, he said, I have not seen, ear have not heard, neither have entered the heart of men what he has for us. I mean, this is the same God that created, and they're discovering now, planets and solar systems. Innumerable. There's some planet somewhere that spits off diamonds. I mean, we think they're valuable to us, but we're going to walk on streets of gold. Those things are no big deal. You know, if you had diamonds and gold glory, you'd be more than just making it. If you can, instead of putting pavement and cement down, you put down gold on your street. You know, you tell your neighbors, well, I just thought I'd add a little bit to our neighborhood, so I'm going to make our sidewalks out of gold. Yeah, right. But that's how we're going to live. That's what he says. We will walk on streets of gold. So don't you think your father wants you to do more now and do more than just, I'm hanging in there. You know, I'm making it. Things are, no. He said abundantly above all you can actually think. He is your head. He wants you to be powerful in faith in him, so powerful as that scripture continues, that you can speak to the mountain and the mountain will move. I mean, that's the scripture right after, let me read it. It's 11th chapter of Mark. And it says, and in the morning they passed by and saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, and I'm in the 11th chapter, 20th verse. And Peter calling to remembrance,
He said to him, Master, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. And Jesus answered him and said, have faith in God. That was the answer. Now, how does that connect to that? Goodness. He said, have faith in God. And it's all about believing who God is and keeping your mind on the Lord. And he says, for verily I say unto you that whatsoever you say, oh, I see, have faith in God. So if God said a thing, it's going to be. Because earlier he had cursed it, and they were surprised that it dried up from the roof. He says, well, have faith. In other words, believe what I say. Have faith in what I say. And then he says, and that whosoever shall say. So he's talking about words and the power of your words and the power that he has to back up your word. So he says, if you say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things, listen, which he saith shall come to pass, it shall whatsoever, he shall have whatsoever he saith. And then the 24th, one of my favorites. Therefore I say unto you that what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and ye shall have them. Oh, here's a contingency. And when you say in praying, forgive if ye have aught against anything, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you for your transgressions, passes. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your transgressions. I'm not saying that word right. It's transgressions. Well, this doesn't sound right, but you know what I'm saying. Those are the key factors. Having faith, not doubting, but having a clean heart. God cannot move in territory that is not clean. But if you, and that's why each day we should say, Lord, and you know, we're encased within that Lord's Prayer, forgive us this day as we forgive our debtors. You know, we should acknowledge who he is daily and ask, Lord, forgive us of our sins of commission and omission. As our head, we want him to work. And we want to have that peace that he died to give us. But we can only be at peace when your heart is clean and when you've forgiven, when you let go. I've just been experiencing here recently letting go of my anger. Today I had a case where it was a business thing, and a company had sent me the wrong stuff, and I was in an emergency and needed the right stuff, didn't have it and won't have it. And I thought, why waste my energy on being that upset? Because I had documents that had to be printed. And the Lord just gave me a plan B, bam, right there and then, which worked. But in the past, when I've gotten upset and allowed myself, I can't think clearly because I'm too steamed up to have a decent thought. So I'm just learning to, it comes, I'm letting it go. Because here's the thing, from day to day, there's no surprise to him what has happened. And he does care about those small, incremental, little situations, such as I ordered two things of ink, and I've had it for a month, and I get ready to replace the ink because now I need to. And they sent me the wrong ink. I've been ordering from them for years. Like, who does this? But it's called a human mistake. That's all. And I'm like, get yourself in the car and drive yourself down here with my ink. But unfortunately, it's in the warehouse. So I'm like, ugh. Put it in a cab. I don't care how you get it here. But it's in the warehouse. Won't get here. So I said, Cass, let it go. And move on. But God is so awesome. Already had the remedy worked out. And I just decided to take a deep breath. Say, thank you, Jesus. Not fuss at the lady. Say, thank you very much. And just hang up and let it go. But that's the peace as our head that he wants us to have. When we just let things go, just let it go. How's it going to work out for you anyway? There's nothing you can do to change it. Well, I deserve to have my fit. I deserve to be happy, be unhappy. I deserve to be upset. Some people just like the feeling of being angry and blowing off steam. I think they're creating stories to tell, you know what so-and-so did to me? let me tell you what I told them. So they're just creating stories. And for some reason, you think that that adds value to your character. Actually just shows how much you're out of control and how you can't handle your business and how you can't remedy and have a solution of outcome. That's what it shows. So it just depends on your purposefulness and if you want, you know, to be fruitful. Because you can't be fruitful the other way. You'll be like the fig tree with no fruit because you base your value and strength on your anger. And that's a bad foundation. Like someone said, that person's really hard to get along with. And they're really this. And June is because they're an angry person and they always express it. That's not good. That's not a characteristic that one wants to deal with. That has no value. It doesn't build your integrity. It doesn't build truth in you. It doesn't anything. It shows nothing in a person that you would trust, that you would be around. You know, what fruit do you want to produce? Who are you representing as your head? Because that's not really our head. Where God doesn't work like that. He says, love your enemies. You're like, wow. Because when you do, God will take care of it. But if you're going to take care of it, he has to sit back and rest. But if you love your enemies and you let go and you forgive, then you can reap all the benefits of God as your head. And the scriptures that we chose to go with this, I'll just go through them quickly. We'll sum the third chapter, the third verse through the eighth verse. And it just talks about how David said, my enemies are increasing. He says, they're rising up all around me. And they're saying there's no help from your God. But he says in the third verse, but thou, Lord, art my shield and my glory and the lifter up of mine head. Benefits as God is your head. He says, and I will not, sixth verse, I will not be afraid of 10,000. It doesn't make any difference in number. Do you know who's on my side? Greater is he that's in me. And he says, that is in the world. Let go. God's already solved it. There's nothing that he hasn't already finished. He lives in tomorrow, and then tomorrow, and then tomorrow. So every little part of your life, because he cares so much that every hair is counted. Each time you call me, as a recount, and it's done. He's so vast, and it's supernatural. Prowess towards it. Let it go, because it's already done, and just trust God. And love him and allow him to be your head. Follow his lead. He doesn't make any mistakes. He will not send me the wrong ink, okay? He is amazing. And he's a perfect God. Love him. Adore him. Worship him. And give him glory. And be blessed. We thank you for this word. Bless it. Let it go deep and root it so that we produce visible fruit. In Jesus' name.